Hello, I am Amanda Wacker.
Hola, I am Lenise Castro.
Sawadee ka, I'm Asama Lekpua.
And we are The Triplicates. Welcome to the seventh of many episodes of The Triplicate Podcast. We are three first-gen women of color currently in our first year of our PhD program at the University of California, San Diego.
So last episode, we took a deep dive into our experiences as students planning and running recruitment events.
This week, we want to celebrate Women's History Month by talking a little about the women in our lives that helped us get here.
Yes, I'd love to hear about your role models and inspirations, but first, a message from our sponsor, Sainted Factory. Sainted Factory is a Black-owned skin and body care line.
Created by a biochemistry college graduate who loves taking an extra step into the world of luxury self-care at home.
They sell whipped body scrubs that are natural and vegan-friendly while also providing your skin with a glow.
So if you're coming home from a long day of meetings or from being stuck in the lab, when you add Sainted Factory products to your wind-down routine, you'll know your skin is being spoiled with the richest ingredients. You can follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Sainted Factory and purchase at saintedfactory.com.
And now, back to the show. Asama, would you like to share your role model or inspiration?
Yes, absolutely. I was thinking about this. In undergrad, when I got started in research, I think all of my mentors were men.
Interesting.
And I didn't really work with women until I worked in biotech. So I guess I'm glad I did that before coming here because I wouldn't have known. So the first person I'd like to highlight is Elaine Vo. She is also the first Southeast Asian scientist that I know because I don't know a lot of them. And she just... I think a lot of people would say that she's a perfectionist. She's a hardworking scientist. She cares a lot about her team. If there's a superlative for who like cares the most, it would be her. And I think that's just so inspiring because to me, up until that point, like a good scientist is someone who does science and creates data and not so much someone who checks in on you, have tea with you, and asks, like, what is it that you want to do? How can we help you get there? And the fact that she also is Asian American as well was super inspiring because for the first time, I could see someone who looks like me. Yeah, shout out to Elaine.
I love that for you. Do you have something that you learned from them that you want to bring forward with you as you move through your journey as a scientist?
Yeah, for sure. So Elaine cares a lot about the team, how dynamic is, and she has this radar sensor for like when things are not quite right. So she would find all these studies of team dynamics, how can we build, you know, morale, or how can we bring the team together, not just during the times where we had layoffs or like really hard time at work, but like usually. So I think I want to be more intentional about how I build my team or how I, you know, want to interact with people, because I think like having those strong relationships really make the hard work easier. And I just really admire her for that. One of the first things that I nerd out with her was like our personality types, like the four letters, the Myers-Briggs. And it was interesting because she was like, oh, let's ask everyone to see what theirs is like and how we could maybe communicate better or like work together better based on how people would like to be communicated with. Yeah.
That's legit.
Yeah, he's very legit.
I love that. Lanise?
Yeah.
Would you like to share?
Of course. So I think similarly, well, actually, no. I was directly mentored by a female in the lab by Mathilde Guzot. She's amazing. So I did a summer internship at MIT, and she was the postdoc that was in charge of making sure the undergrad, aka me, didn't mess things up. But I think she was just really passionate and really wanted me to kind of believe in myself. And while it's okay to ask questions, also realize that sometimes you do know the answer, and it's okay to take ownership of knowing the answer. So I think she really helped me. But I think that's – I wanted to briefly touch on her, but my big shout-out goes to, like, Dr. Tama Hassan. So anyone that comes from UCLA Care Fellows knows that Dr. Tama Hassan, or Dr. Hassan, has helped a lot of us kind of shine through and find our way in a STEM and find our way into PhD programs, actually. So she heads PEERS, which is the Program of Excellence in Education in I looked this up to make sure that I knew what it was, but here we are. Okay, so Program for Excellence in Education and Research in the Sciences. And it focuses on getting URMs used to the college life and being in STEM, and even push them to start doing scientific research. So that's definitely a big program that helped me realize that I wanted to do scientific research. And she's also the main female mentor that I had that pushed me to, like, continue doing research, i.e. go to MIT and do that internship. It just felt really nice to have someone unequivocally know that you could make it, you know? Like, even barely, we had only known each other for a year, but she, like, put me up for this HHMI X job, and she's like, I just know that you're going places, and even though you don't know yet, like, you will. And I don't know, that was just, like, really nice to hear as a small little sophomore at UCLA. Aww. What about you, Amanda?
Wait, I have...
Oh, you have questions. Follow up. Questions.
Yeah. What is something that you learned from them that you will bring with you? I forget the exact wording I used with Osama. But, like, in your journey as a scientist moving forward.
Yeah, I think... let's see. I guess it's, like, kind of what I talked about in each of them. Like, taking ownership of how amazing I am. It sounds weird. Oh my God. Like, I felt so hesitant about saying me, like, physically amazing. We could get into that, Amanda. Let's not psychoanalyze Lanise today. No, thank you. It's late.
I got a therapy degree. I got a degree in biology.
But I think it's something that I know that I have to work on. Just, like, knowing that I am doing my best and I'm out here doing things. And so it's nice to kick, I know Amanda doesn't like this term, but kick imposter syndrome to the side and be like, I am the baddest in this room, you know? So that's something I learned from the both of them.
I love that for you.
Teach me your ways once you figure that out.
Oh my God. I'll let you know. What about you, Amanda? Do you have a female mentor in mind?
Yeah. So I think I'm also going to do a two-parter. The first person... I came from, like, a different situation where I was almost exclusively mentored by women.
Nice.
But, like, the biggest impact I think I had in undergrad was going to a summer internship at CU Boulder and meeting, like, Latinx grad students. Like, that was, like, a big deal for me because, like, there just wasn't – I went to Florida State University. It's, like, mostly predominantly white institution. And then meeting one of them in particular was, like, Cammie, and, like, she was so cool. She was from Miami and I was from Florida, and I was like, oh my God, you know? and she did, like, she, like, made her own 3D printer, and she was just, like, so cool. And she, like, did some badass science, and she was, like, she always dressed, like, very cute. And, like, you know, my personality, I have heart-shaped glasses.
I'll pink everything.
Exactly. So it was really empowering to see her, like, be who she wanted to be and still be in, like, these spaces and do really cool stuff and, like, be respected and be like a powerhouse in her field. It was like, it was so good. And I loved that she was like from Miami. Like that was like, you know, it was like when it's like hometown, you're like, oh, any of us, you know, any of us could do it now. So I think that, and then I don't know. I think there's just a lot because I was mentored by like a bunch of different women. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's like just a long line of people. I think I was like really lucky, but also I was very intentional about trying to find labs that had mostly women. Like my undergrad lab that I did my thesis in was only women.
Nice.
Which was really cool. Like it was I don't know. It's just like, it was such a different environment than what I had been in. And then at my internship in Boulder, it was like a lab of like 23 people and 21 of them were women.
So what?
Like, yeah, like the PI was like very serious about like, now we're supporting women in STEM.
Take that, nature comms.
Yeah. But I think my PI in undergrad was really cool, and like that was like the longest I've been mentored like consistently by one person, mm-hmm. by Dr. Parvatiar, and it was like, I don't know, it was nice. I felt like prepared because of her, and like I can't contribute that to anyone else. Like she helped me with my NSF, and she helped me with college apps. She wrote all my letters of rec for my like bigger, like when my NASA internship, she helped me with like, I don't know. I can't ask my mom to read my stuff. You know what I mean? So it's like, it was really important for me to have someone to be like, yeah, this is good. Or like, oh, you should look at this or change that. So that was really nice.
Yeah. And so since you asked everyone else this, I have to ask you.
Yeah.
What is something that you learned from that myriad of female mentors that you'll take away?
Yeah, I think it's just being myself and being secure in myself. I think the biggest thing, and how I avoid imposter syndrome, whatever, I use air quotes
there. Yeah.
is that, like, I have every right to be in this space.
Yes.
And if anyone is making me feel like I'm not, they're the problem. It's not me.
Yes.
So it's like, y'all the one that are being sexist or racist or whatever. Like, I'm not the issue. If I want to do science, I belong. It doesn't belong to anyone. Like, it's everybody's to participate in. So it's like, I'm going to do me. I'm going to wear my heart-shaped glasses and wear my little Western blot. And there's nothing you can do to stop me. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
Yes. Period.
Yeah. Like, I just like, and obviously like, there's like,
exclamation
point. Yeah. Exclamation point. But there's just like, I get that there's structural systemic issues that is like harder to get around, like people on admissions committees being racist or sexist and biases at that level where it's like, you can't jump that. You can't stand your ground against an admissions committee.
Yeah.
So I think that's a little tougher, but I think the knowing that this is as much my space as anybody else's is like what I will move forward. And if I have trainees, what I will instill in them too, because it's like, I don't know. I don't want them to feel like they don't belong because of somebody else.
Is this something that one of your mentors or like a collection of them sort of talk to you about? Because maybe this sounds surprising, but like I've never heard of like those exact words saying like, this is science, anyone can be here, like through like my previous mentoring.
No, it's just like I see, like especially with Cammie, I think that was like the pivotal moment for me, like when I was an undergrad, of seeing somebody that looked like me.
Yes.
And was like wearing, you know, her little tank top with the little, you know, the little shawls. Like I was like, this is like the embodiment of I belong here. Mm-hmm. No one can tell me shit because my science is good. Mm-hmm. I'm not causing anybody any harm.
Yeah.
I'm just being myself and getting my work done. Like there's no problem there, you know? Yeah. So like, that's how I feel. Like as long as I am doing good science, I'm not hurting anybody. We're chilling.
I'm like looking at a song. I'm like, okay, who's gonna cry? Me or you?
I already cried twice today.
Cry? Oh no!
I think I've hit my limit of crying
today. Oh, okay. I don't have a limit. Anyways, maybe not.
Are you gonna cry?
No, not right now.
Okay.
So Amanda brought up like a good point that I think I try to, or I bring up sometimes when the conversation is right, you know, whatever, is that there is so much power in seeing someone that looks like you in science. Like, I don't know. It just, it makes me so happy when I see someone like, oh, wow, like you and me have this, or like we're both females, or we're both females of color, like blah, blah, blah. It's just so nice to see. And I feel like it's becoming, I don't want to say easier, because you still kind of have to like tap into that area. But like Twitter, I feel like ever since I've entered science Twitter, it just makes me so happy. Like there's so much representation for all people, right? Like no matter anything, really.
Yeah, you can find them on Twitter.
You can find them. And it's just so nice. I don't know. It just makes me feel so happy, like re-energized, and reinforces like I do belong here. And I feel like those words I've been able to say a lot more, even though it's like we're a PhD, you'd think, or I would think it'd be harder for me to say those words, but that, I guess that was just me in the past. So
I was got it. Like you're here.
I'm
like,
here.
They said, come here. Yes. And you're like, okay, I will.
I will.
Why would you second guess that? They were, yeah, they yeah, literally yeah. were like, come.
I know.
To us, please. We'll pay you 30 for whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And Amanda never lets me forget it. So
no.
Even though we're colleagues, you guys are also like, I feel like we're each other's mentors. I don't know, but I don't want to speak for
peer mentors.
Else.
No, I feel like we're like a good support circle of like, okay, we, I think if you don't have someone to talk it out with, it's like a little tougher.
Yeah.
Especially when something weird happens and you're just like, I don't know, like this is kind of odd. I don't really know what to do, but like to have someone in the same position and be like, And then
sometimes you just need to, the amount of times I've been in the car with Amanda and just let her talk it out.
I do just need to talk it out, bitch.
And sometimes that's all you need, and you need someone to be like, yes.
And then I'm like, yeah, true. True. Yeah. I do need to talk it out. I think I just like be in my head and then I like run in circles and it's like the point is like in the middle, but I'm like zigzagging like around it.
Yeah. And I feel like it's easier to talk to, I mean, there comes a point where you're like, whatever, I'm going to talk to anyone, whoever I feel close to. Yeah. But sometimes there's just a little bit more ease to talking to someone that looks like you in science or that has the same background, because they and just like, get it, you know?
Yeah. And I trust you guys. And like, I feel like when it's some things, like, I feel like I'm a little hot-headed about some topics. Like, I won't stand down on things that other people are just like, it's not that big of a deal. But like, talking to people, like especially when things is like maybe if it's like racism or like sexism, and I'm like, am I tripping or is that, was that a microaggression? You know what I mean? Like to talk, like if I were to say that to someone who was like white or a man, they'd be like, it's not that big of a deal. Like get over it. But like,
yeah,
it doesn't feel like a big deal to me.
Yeah, or, like, there was a time when that happened, and you were just like in a group chat asking us like, is this just me? And I would just like, this is like blatant. I think like what you're feeling is right. And then I ended up writing a long email.
We love long emails.
I don't know. I still be second guessing myself though. Like even when that thing happened in one of our classes, I like spent the whole weekend being like, did I overreact?
I remember you texted us, did I overreact all week?
Yeah,
I was like, nah, dude, you're good.
Yeah, but it felt like, I don't know. I think it's like when it's like other people, just let it go, because it's like, oh, it's too much trouble to go to all these extra meetings to go like complain about something that happened to you. And then like it's just like it started with like, I don't know how many of us were in that room, like 10 of us in that room. And then in the group chat, like for the class, we were like going back and forth to like pulling up to the meeting, and there only being two of us left that were like, oh, I want to push this issue because it's important to me. It's like, okay, is it not important to the other people? Am I pushing too hard? Or it's like, it's kind of like weird for me, I guess, when to go to those meetings and it not be as much support as it was the day it happened.
Yeah. I think people also like respond to these things differently, like clearly, and maybe they're just not willing to talk or be vocal about it, but they have like other means. I don't know. It's hard to speculate, but you speaking up and that feels right for you, then that's the right thing to do. And I would just there to like nod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you're right. I think there are like some people do support in different ways. Like they, if they didn't go to the meeting, they like did something outside of that.
Like when we ask people to fill out polls, like
they do it.
Nearly all of them do that. So they have thoughts for sure.
Yeah. So that's nice. But anyways, the point is women in STEM.
Yeah.
We stan.
I guess like we've talked a little bit about things we learned from our mentors. Mm-hmm. But considering that we are PhD students, we have jumped the level of undergrads to of the mentees. Now we're the mentors in a sense.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. I need to reply to an email.
Like, what would you want your future or current mentees, because we have some of those, to take away from you?
My mentee is, she's interesting because we're in the for bump, right? So like the idea is to support undergrads, and it's like very research based. Like a lot of the resources are like helping you get into a lab. And then I was like helping her through that process. And then it's a winter break. And then we have our check-in meeting in January. And she's like, oh, I changed my minor to education. And I'm doing all this stuff so I can teach. And I want to teach like middle school. And this is what I want to do. And I was like,
I love that.
I know. Yeah. But then I was like, okay. Well, I did all this. Like I was sending her like internship links and stuff. If I saw them on Twitter, I'd be like, hey, saw this thought of you. Hey, saw this thought of you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, now I have to switch gears and like find education things. But I think something I would want them to gain from maybe interacting with me is that feeling of like, okay, I can do whatever makes me happy. And it doesn't have to be what everyone else is doing. It doesn't have to be whatever is going to make me money. It doesn't have to be whatever is hot in science. It's like, this is what I want to do. You can just do it and have someone that'll help you figure out the steps to get there. And then you're Gucci. Like it's all good after that. And I don't know. I just want them to do stuff that makes them happy and not go to med school just because everyone's going to med school. And like, oh, I don't know what else to do because I don't know. There's only like three things you can do with a biology degree. So am I wrong?
No.
Okay. Popcorn Asama.
I'm still processing that one.
Lol.
Yeah, so as a reminder, I'm a little older than these two.
You're like 2 years older.
So I actually had like mentees at work where I like help them think about their day-to-day research things and plan out their next steps in the career, things like that. And now, even though I just started school in the pandemic, I am also involved in BUM and have mentees through that. And I think, yeah, like Amanda said, plans can change and maybe like my interests or expertise will not always align with my mentees, but I really want to be the person where no matter like what they're going through or when something is hard and tricky and they don't quite know like who to go to, if they just come up to me and say like, here is what's happening and here are some options I'm considering. Like even if they're not asking me to solve their problem or weigh in on anything, just the fact that they trust that I could be there to listen and be the sounding board is like such a big honor to me, because having a mentor who I can go to for anything is like amazing. And if I can be that for someone, I feel like my mission is accomplished. And recently, one of my mentees from work was considering going to grad school or getting a new job or like moving back to California to like do something else entirely different for his family thing. And he just said, hey, can we chat? And I was just there for him. So I feel like I want that for my future mentees too, because so many things can happen in your life, and it doesn't have to be science related always.
So Osama's a boss, and we all grow up to be like her.
No.
What
about you, Lanise?
I think I would want my mentee to not lead with, this might be a dumb question or this might be a silly question.
Yeah.
But like completely own that it's okay to say, I don't know, or hey, like, can you clarify this? Like, know that any question is not a dumb question. Not a dumb question ever, because you're there to learn. Like, that is your, like, us as PhD students, is we're here to learn. So of course you're not going to know all the intricacies of phase separation or some shit.
The way I was in my meeting and they were, there's five of us going back and forth, and I was like, I'm gonna be real with y'all. Don't know what is going on right now. It was minute 54 of an hour long meeting, and they were like, we're trying to separate parts to do, and I was like, I really don't know what's going on, guys. Like, anyways,
as you were.
Yeah, so it's okay to be like, hey, can you explain this? Like, to be honest, I really don't know what's going on. Yeah, and I guess to know that they can do that, and going back to kind of what Osama's saying, it'd be an honor to be the person that they go for those questions when maybe they don't feel comfortable asking someone else, but knowing that at least I'll be there not to judge and to break it down and be like, well, you see, these liquid particles are like not, or like these liquid particles are going hand in hand and they're saying we're in it together. You know, it's like breaking it down so that they understand, because science is, everything you think is true, some way or another, you find out it's false. And it's like groundbreaking.
True, but.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah, confusing. But half the time it doesn't do that at all.
Yeah. Biology really says fuck around and find out. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard to find out. And you have those questions.
We're allowed cursing now?
Oh, I don't know.
I can just mark it explicit.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I said ass before. It's
fine. But, you know, it's like hard to get to that find out part, you know?
Yeah.
So I want them to be comfortable with being a little lost sometimes, and you'll eventually find your way.
I think half of it is maybe trust of, like, mm-hmm, whatever, yeah, like building or establishing trust between like whoever you are talking to, and then being like, okay, well, I can say this to them and I don't feel insecure about how they're going to feel about me. And then like you have to create that environment of,
yeah,
you can ask me anything, and like I understand that you're not going to know everything. Like, literally just ask me anything. We can walk through it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's my favorite thing when I ask questions. They go, actually, let me Google that. Went to like my mentors, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. It's okay. Not everyone, like, everyone doesn't know everything. Yeah. But going back to, like, you talking about the trust thing, it also connects to, like, seeing someone like you. And so, I don't know. For me, I feel more comfortable sometimes asking those questions to people maybe in the same position as me, i.e. a PhD student, or even further, like, a female PhD student, or, mm-hmm, I don't know. Like, I just feel like I won't be judged. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's rooted in internalized sexism.
Yes.
I don't know. But I did, I in the lab, my first ever lab that I was in, it was, the PI was a dude, but the person that I was working under was a woman, and like she was his wife, which is like fun. We love
power dynamics.
I guess I was too young to like pick up on like anything. It was like such a small, it was like them two, me and another undergrad. So it was like, oh. I didn't see everyone interact at the same time. Mm. Anyways, but the point is, sometimes I would work with him, sometimes I would work with her, but I would like leave my questions that seemed like quote unquote dumb, or like if I didn't understand something and like he had already explained it to me, I'd be like, okay, well, I'm just going to ask her later. And like, I don't know how, if half of it was like, okay, well, he didn't explain it in a way I understood, so let me go ask this other person. Or half of it was like, okay, well, I don't want to keep asking this dude question. He's going to think I'm dumb. And like, I don't know how I got into that lab. I hadn't taken biology yet. Like, I was freshman, first semester freshman. Didn't take anything.
It's your charisma.
I didn't know. Listen, I didn't know that DNA had like a 5-prime, 3-prime situation.
She didn't deny it.
I mean, yeah, I can talk said, my
yeah,
way into
a room. I have charm. Duh.
I can talk my way into a room. But it was like that was where I was working with, where I did not know there was a 5-prime, 3-prime end of DNA. And they were like, oh, here are all these E. coli. This is what we're doing. Gibson assembly. I still don't know what Gibson assembly is.
I love a good Gibson.
But I don't know. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it was just like, that was just where I was. And I was just like, okay, well, y'all let me come in here. So you knew I didn't take a biology class and mm-hmm. you still told me to come. So I'm here. I'm going to have hella questions because, again, did not take a biology class.
Oh, my gosh. What if I pull up in lab tomorrow and be like, so my transcript said I never took immunology.
No, literally.
That's why I have a lot of questions for you.
That's fine. Just be like, I never took an immunology class. This is all new. And that's it. I lead with that, too. When I'm at the lab I'm in now is an immunology lab. And when I went to go present, like, my proposal, I literally said I took one semester of immunology. My background is in cardiac biology. I don't know what's happening. I'm doing my best. Here's what I propose to do. And then, like, that's it. Like, that's I'd let them know where I'm coming from. That's all I can do. Mm-hmm. If you think I'm dumb, it's not my fault.
Yes. I'm just a yes. I'm here to hype everyone. Okay. That's all I have to say. But yeah, I agree. But then they'll have you hit you with like, oh, but this isn't like, I don't consider myself an immunologist. I'm like, yes, but you know a lot more. Oh, and I was like, I need background. Hella background.
I don't know these things.
Yeah. And
you
sometimes
have something to say, Osama?
Yeah, go ahead, deep Osama. Sigh. Oh, that was a deep
brain.
Sigh.
Oh, your brain.
I had something else, like another question.
Oh.
You continue.
Oh, I lost my train of thought.
But bringing it back to establishing trust, what do you think are some ways beyond just, you know, positively reaffirming and saying, you can come to me for anything, literally, like, I won't think you're dumb. What are some other ways that you've seen mentors try to, like, reach out and try to establish trust that worked well in the past?
I love the affirmation of, huh, that's a good question. It just makes you feel good and it encourages you to ask more questions, you know? Like whenever I'm in a talk and I say a question and they're like, that was a really good question. I was like, thank you. And I feel more comfortable asking the questions.
Yeah.
Because I guess due to feeling quote unquote dumb when you ask those like small questions, you lead with, oh, sorry, this might be a dumb question.
Yeah.
And maybe I shouldn't be Maybe I shouldn't be saying sorry. Like, no, lead with that. But I'd rather just you say, it's a good question. I will eventually get out of the habit of saying sorry and own my questions.
Just be like, yo, I'm confused.
Exactly.
Can you explain this?
One day.
Bam. Why are you apologizing? What are you sorry for? Their job, they literally get paid to teach you. They are getting paid to answer your questions. For you not to answer their questions is like the university paying them for nothing.
Yes.
Don't let the university spend money like that.
I hope that our mentees don't have this bad habit, but it's a bad habit I am working on.
It's okay. We are all in growing in our growth period.
But that like, positive reinforcement of saying,
you're
good question.
Good.
Yeah.
Like you're on the right track.
It's nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or sometimes that quick, like, great job today as you're like leaving, even
what
though.
What is that accent? You know, we just said, you know, Love Island.
You know who it is.
I know.
He has that accent. And then I'm like, well, I did my delusions wrong. I played it tenfold less cells. I spilled this thing. But yeah, I did great. I survived.
But you tried.
Thank you.
Like, okay, but the thing is, like, I think we're talking about this with undergrads too. Like, undergrads are going to mess stuff up, but that's like part of the learning process. You messed up your dilutions. That's part of the learning process. You are learning how to do that.
Yeah, and I don't waste as much virus now. Thanks.
Yeah, so it's like it's part of your growing. It's not you being dumb. That's like literally an example of you learning.
Anyways,
Back to you, Amanda.
Anyway.
Sorry. I'm like, I feel very strongly. Back like, to I don't want you guys to feel like you're dumb because we're in a learning environment.
It's okay.
Like, it's not our fault. I think it's the onus is on. I read one book once that said onus, and now I throw it in everywhere. But I think the responsibility is on the educators and on the teachers to create an environment that's like not where students feel like they're constantly being judged, where they're constantly being like put against the test.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's like, how am I learning if I'm just trying to make sure that I look good from one side? But like, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen like behind the back, like you have all this mess and you just like push it all to the side and it's like, oh, but I know that there's a 5'3" DNA sides thing. Don't know any of my amino acids. Don't know. You know what I mean? Like there's all this stuff that's like lacking just because you want to be like, oh, I know the answer to this one question.
Mm-hmm.
And then for those undergrads, I know we be out here memorizing things to pass the test. Guess what? If I need to know the one letter abbreviation of an amino acid, what am I going to do? Google it.
Google it. You don't need to know anything. I don't know why I think this transition into grad school is so hard because it's like there's no longer the measurement of or the reinforcement that you're doing a good job by tests and memorizations.
Yeah.
It's like your idea of you doing a good job is like, oh, did I successfully complete a series of tasks
mm-hmm.
that can go wrong at literally every step?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've also had so much more fun thinking. I know that sounds very strange, but in grad school,
that's
like,
good. It's working.
Like learning, as much as I've complained about rotations being learning something like in super detail for 6 weeks, picking up and then learning something else. It's mm-hmm. so fun. Like,
Lanise is having a great time.
I'm having a great time. And why is it fun? Because my mentors are also excited that I'm learning and that mm-hmm. I'm getting excited about their science.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so also being like, I don't know, when mentors show excitement about their science, it gets me excited. Like, I get hyped. I'm like, oh, and then we start bouncing ideas off of each other. And you're like, shh, you know, like, oh, well, I thought about that too. And I'm like, bro. Or like, I don't know. It's just cool. Like, picking up on what excites your mentee as a mentor mm-hmm. Says that you're paying attention. And I think that's important. Like, mm-hmm. mentors paying attention for the positives and the negatives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And pulling you aside when you have the Lanise stress face on and be like, mm-hmm. are you okay? is nice, you know? They paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
Since you posed the question, Asama, I feel like you have an answer to it as well.
For establishing trust?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Something that's, like, kind of fun is learning that your professors or, like, someone you look up to is not perfect. Like, maybe they're bad at drawing, or maybe they're bad at making food or something, because it just like humanizes them.
Yeah.
So if there are avenues where professors can be like, look, this is the Pinterest meal that I wanted to make, or that TikTok feta thing that I wanted to make. And this is what I made. And then we can look at it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then that would be great entertainment and trust building.
Mm-hmm. That's, I think, along the lines of how I feel the most trust. Because I think also there's this, like, when you're saying, like, they seem perfect, like, in the lab space. Because, like, they're a faculty member. Like,
yeah.
they're at a completely different stage than you. And it's, like, it's hard not to compare yourself to them. Like, oh, my gosh, they do so much good stuff. But it's, like, they also had like 20 more years of training than me.
Yeah.
So it's nice for them to be like, oh, when I was your age, like, this is what I did. Like, when I was in grad school, this is how I messed something up completely.
Yes.
And then we can laugh about it. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, like, this is good. Like, I'm not doing anything bad. Everyone messes up something. Like, I don't know. This guy stepped on one of the organs. We had to single cell flow. And I was like, okay, well, if he stepped on something, I can step on something. Like, it won't be that big of a deal. You just pick up, you keep going. Like, it's everything is gonna be fine.
I'm still stuck on the organ. He stepped on an organ?
Yeah, it was a mouse bladder.
I've only worked with bacteria, so organs in the lab is never something I've had to worry about stepping on.
Yeah, it's an experience.
I won't get too much into it, but like it did stress me out because I was like, oh no, what if I don't do it right? And then I mess it up. And this is like, it's not something you can redo in 2 days. So I was like, oh, this is like a 2 week experiment on 3 month old mice. So to do that again, it would take a while to replicate this.
I was actually on a Zoom call asking one of my current mentors to show me how to use Python. I think it was Python to analyze my qPCR data. Mm-hmm. And he was like, he had to like Google to make sure that the commands he was using were the true commands. And honestly, that was like, I don't know, something about it humanizes a mentor and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
We all don't know anything.
Exactly. That's the point. It's like no one knows everything. They just like make it look like they do.
Yes.
Like we have our second tab open during those Zoom meetings, Googling whatever that we're about to say. Mm-hmm. Or like y'all be saying words and I literally Google what they mean as you finish the sentence. And I'm like, okay, cool. We're good. You know, like it's just like, I think we forget that other people are doing exactly what we're doing, but we just don't see it because we don't let other people see us doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In our second tab.
It goes back to like transparency.
Yeah.
Which is why whenever I have a mentee or whoever I'm helping, they'd be like, oh my gosh, you're doing so well. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. None.
I'm just doing my best.
Exactly.
And somehow it all works. So we're fine.
We're fine.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah. And I think that helps. Like, I don't know. It's nice knowing not everyone's perfect, even though you think they're perfect.
Yeah. I think also maybe it's because I don't pay for it. You know, like none of this is my money. but like nothing really matters. Like everything, you can redo it. You know, like it might take 3 months, but like the biggest point of science is reproducibility. So yes. You just got to do it again. And it's like, okay, well, you just do it again. Like whatever. It'll take 3 days. Whatever. You got to redo the Western. Not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know. I think if it's like, it's not as world shattering that there was a bubble in my Western blot that, of an important experiment when it's like, okay, well, I just run it again. Cool. Or like, oh, I just reset up everything, the transaction. Like, not a big deal.
Yeah, I was recently reminded, actually multiple times, that whatever I'm doing in the rotation is not the most important thing in my life or in anyone else in the lab's life. And it's okay if it's, like, not perfect. This is just learning how to work together and not trying to publish your first author paper in, like, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think just having those words spelled out was very helpful for me because mm-hmm. when you're in the zone, you think that like, oh my gosh, this is everything. So it's helpful to know that this is not it. Like your purpose in life is not to pipette everything correctly. Maybe it is, but not mine.
Your purpose in life is not to pre-wet a pipette. See that?
Okay, but like the mixing, you know how you're always supposed to mix before you like suck up volume with a pipette? Like, is that not pre-wetting? Are people just not mixing their pipette? Like, is that the same thing?
I think that is.
Yeah. I don't know. When you're doing big volumes, I just, you know, like.
Oh, you like flick the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I also do that. That's interesting.
It's fine. That like shattered the science Twitterverse.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Anyways,
we're back.
Any final thoughts?
I guess. Oh no, go ahead. I was gonna say, like, what would be your motto as a female mentor?
I don't know. I feel like I've said a lot of sentences that could have been. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for.
Mantra?
No, EMB something. But I don't know what the other letters are. I feel like you could put it on like a sweater or like a something you walk in.
Emboldened?
I don't know. I don't. We don't have to. We don't have to. There's so many words that start with EMB. But I feel like a lot of it is like, oh, like you. It's as much like you. The whole like you belong here, but like this is as much as your space as anybody else's, and like don't let anyone take that away from you. Like that is like I think the biggest thing, and like how I feel allows me to move the way I do move through the program and like how I interact with everybody is because I'm not second guessing whether or not I am allowed to do, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is like, this is my space too. And I deserve to feel, I feel like supported is like encompasses a lot of like what I'm looking for.
Yeah. What about you, Asama Mama?
Know that.
Sorry.
It's what about you say Asama Mama and I go Asama Ama Ama. Like I go AMA.
My mom's going to listen to this and she's going to be like, who is that? Yeah, for me, I think I'm still trying to figure out who I am as a mentor, but I think it helps to draw inspirations, of course, from previous mentors and see how they can literally do anything. They can do some badass science. They can teach spin class. They can have three kids. They can take vacations. They could just be like, nope, I'm working. Don't bother me. So I guess remember that you have a choice to define what being a woman in science is. How feminine you want to define yourself and what that looks like for you. So if you haven't found someone who, you know, looks like you or have the sort of work-life balance that you strive to be, it's okay. You can still try to figure it out and collect data and analyze it later.
I love that.
You, Lenise?
I think I would tell my mentee slash use this as a thing I would tell myself as a mentor is you is intelligent, you is important, you belong, and I'm here to embolden you and support you and amplify your voice.
Wow.
Wow. That's but that's something I would want someone to tell me, you know?
Yeah.
Words of affirmations. We love to see it or hear it, I guess.
We do love words of affirmation. Okay, with that, we can round up the show. Let's do some observations and run some stats on our data.
How many of our PhD students are looking forward to the next generation of women in STEM?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
So 100% of the PhD students in our study are looking forward to the next generation of women in STEM.
If there's anything you would like to share with us, please feel free to reach out.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at triplicatespod, and you can email us triplicatespod@gmail.com. If you like us, support us on patreon.com/triplicatespod. And with that,
obrigada, ciao.
Gracias y adiós.
Kapunka, bye.